How's it going, folks? One quick piece of business, just because I swear to God I'm not kidding. I am a nurse for adults with developmental disabilities, and unfortunately, I am actually on call. So I am the only on-call person in my agency, so if this phone actually rings, I am going to have to like step aside and answer it. I apologize, but it's not a fun job, so when I asked all the other on-call people if anyone would take it for me or switch, they of course said no. And I don't blame them. I mean, I really don't blame them. So last year I read from a couple of different books, so tonight I think I will read from my latest book. This is called This Many Years After the War. It just came out through Cajun Mutt Press. I'm terrible at eye contact. So when I get close to the end, you gotta give me like a wrap it up, man. All right, it's called Cigars. We would sit after our shift in the hospital and smoke cigars. Doctors, nurses, and corpsmen. It might have been boredom, it might have been bonding, it might have been friendship. But it was always a big fuck you to death, a big fuck you to the war that was saying fuck you to us, one soldier at a time. I was on a place called Camp Bastion. This is just about that place, so that's all it's called. 9 months after I left Afghanistan, 4 Marines were killed in the spot we used to duck the wire to sneak to the next base for breakfast. And when they closed the camp later that year, I don't remember being anything like happy, just relieved, like you feel right after puking or burning a tick off your arm. It's just the truth, man. It's called Echoes. The echo of ghosts inside my head is the hum of the lunar moth, the caw of a sick crow, the sound of a lost whale, its bone trees and white sun, its lost dogs looking for broken children. It's something I still wake to. On sweaty nights and out-of-town hotels, I hear them, and it's not a surprise after all these years. But the fear is still as real as the first time I heard it, under night fire and a million Afghan stars. I wrote this for a friend of mine, and it was funny. It was a girl I used to be engaged to, so I got this great email that says, you know, Matt, whenever I see a poem with my name on it, I get very concerned about what it might be. But this one wasn't a bad one, so she thanked me. It's just called Kim. I was thinking about Kim telling me that as a grad student, she slept in a tent in Africa and heard lions roaring against the stars at night. She said it was beautiful and terrifying all at once. I was thinking about her telling me this on my first night in Afghanistan as I listened to Nightfire and saw green tracers light the sky. Thank you. Some of these even I don't understand. This is called I'd Rather. I'd rather be a moth than a butterfly, vodka instead of ice, the bullet, not the gun. I'd rather leave than be left behind, be a star, not a planet, a ghost, not an angel, the animal, not the hunter, a lover, not a fighter, sweat instead of tears, bacon instead of sausage, the road instead of the wheel, time instead of space, the silence, not the storm. I'd rather be the wreckage and not the war. This is for all my other vet friends, because I'm sure you all know exactly how this feels. It's called Stella. That's the name of one of my pit bulls. That's the problem with this dog I have. She's terrified of fireworks, I say to the guys watching them explode over the ball field. Then I pull her leash and we run for home. It's just easier than admitting that 8 years after the war, I still can't stand that sound. Let me see. I haven't looked at some of these in a while. PTSD has a number of defining symptoms. Insomnia is kind of one of them. So I write a lot of, like, I should number them all. But this is just about that. Sometimes, like when the sun comes up and I haven't slept again, I sit in my house and wonder how many bees will fit on the head of a pin. How many goldfish can you put in one bowl before they eat each other? How many screaming marines will fit in my head and still let me sleep? How many suction pumps and wound vacs did I clean in Afghanistan? How many prayers went unanswered until I stopped trying? How many medications have I tried? How many drinks does it take until I black out? How many times will my wife hold me until I stop shaking? How many days can you go without sleep until you die? And how many times will I think I found the answers before the war changes all the questions. This one's called Dead as a Doornail, or what I want to say when people ask me to explain PTSD. If you've ever had it, there's always somebody that says, well, just tell me about it. This is my definitive answer. It's that the war was the last place I was where I didn't have PTSD. So I think constantly that going back would help me get over it, like a reset button or a do-over, that it would be different this time, maybe better. So now you take that information and wrap it around itself a dozen times, stick your head through it, and swing from the rafters by it until you feel as dead as any nail and any door. This one's called group therapy. Only the new guys want to tell their stories, and all of us who have been here a while will agree that all we need is which war you were in. The rest of it is all just shit we can see in your eyes. When I left for Afghanistan, some of my kids were pretty small. So I wrote this for my son, Jonah, because as he gets older, he's starting to figure it out a little bit. It's called Dog Tags. My 13-year-old son drops my dog tags on the table, asking if he could have them. When I tell them they are issued and still a part of my uniform, he is unhappy at the realization that this means no. 13 is a funny age. He is just becoming aware of what it meant when I was deployed. His class sends care packages to soldiers in the country I was in, and he has heard people thank me for my service. So he now thinks it makes me somebody other than the dad who left him for almost a year without an explanation. He is just old enough to understand I did something that most dads will never do, but still too young for me to explain how much it didn't mean anything at all. Let's see here. Bounce around here. I'm just kind of reading through it. Sure. All these years later, and the war is just a place I bury the bodies. It's a bar I drink in, trying to forget. It's an altar I kneel at and pray for nothing. All these years later, and the war is a cold shower and dead PA winter. It's a grave I lie in next to my dead father's. It's a bed soaked in wet sheets from sweaty nightmares. All these years later, and the war is the skin I live in, the bleach I drink, the bandages I wrap around my wrist daily. It's a rock I hide under, a hang knot I tie, a gun I load, a knife I sharpen, a poison I mix, and a trap I set for the enemy, but I only ever catch myself. It's called I Wanted to Join the Circus, which is actually true. I wanted to join the circus, walk the high wire, be a clown who makes you laugh when you want to cry. I wanted to be a thunderstorm, bring rain to the desert flowers. I wanted to be an artist, create a hue of blue or green they would name after me. I wanted to be a mountain great men and women wanted to climb. I wanted to be a rock star, feel like Joey Ramone on city streets, take my joy from the basement out into the world behind a wall of hair. I wanted to be a sonnet, balanced and perfect, even when I was not understood. I wanted to be a Shaolin monk and walk through walls. I wanted to be a magician and walk through walls. I wanted to be a sailor and float on an ocean full of whales. But instead I became a sailor and floated waist deep in sand and blood in Afghanistan. Then I became a magician and disappeared in front of people I loved. Then I was a Shaolin monk, facing bullets with nothing but my hands. Then I was a sonnet, screaming my children awake at night. Then I was a rock star, old, self-medicated, wondering what happened to the man I used to be. I became the mountain, fracked into powder, a color you would never paint a room, and I finally joined the circus, just in time to stand under the big top, watching as it all burned to the ground. Wish I could tell you there was some lighter stuff coming. The Navy, and I am, as hard as this could be to explain, still a United States Navy sailor, mostly having to do with the fact that I've been there almost 20 years, and after all of this, I'm not going out without my retirement, so, just the truth. So they send me to these simulated trainings now, where we pretend we're fighting a war, and usually I'm the only person there that was there, because corpsmen are not usually in war unless they're traveling with Marines. I was in one of the few hospitals, so this is about a training they sent me to. It was a simulated training exercise set up just like a hospital in Afghanistan. We were training mock casualty scenarios, usually involving multiple victims and enemy fire. It was the closest some of these Navy doctors, nurses, and corpsmen had ever been to working downrange. They all agreed it was valuable training, and they now felt ready to do the job for real if asked. Having been there in 2010, all I can think about is how much slower everything will move when the blood gets on our hands and everything gets slippery. How am I doing on time? Awesome. Hold on. I'm trying to find certain ones now and I don't know where they're at. It's called Dress Whites Inspection. Bleach your cover, starch your uniform, get the creases right, and shine your shoes. Straighten your ribbons, cut your hair, shave twice, and stand at attention. Open ranks when ordered and hope no one sees the blood from the last war still on your hands. It's called Don't Pray for Rain If You Aren't Ready to Drown. Today I want to watch my memories burn in an apartment fire. Today I want to turn the dead soldiers and children into sandwiches to feed the politicians who call war inevitable and track profit margins. Today I want to find the Afghan boy whose colostomy we reversed and ask him if he is still grateful or if as a man he now knows who hurt him in the first place. Today I want to set free the voices in my head, to smack the anvil of my life with the iron hammer in my chest. Today I want answers to all the questions my ghosts have asked me every day since the war. This is also, I was an art major at one time, before I was a nurse and before I was in the Navy. So this sort of starts there. It's called Cigarette. I actually don't smoke. I know I write a lot about cigars and that, but I will say I don't smoke anymore. Once in college, an art teacher told me the best way to stop ruining my paintings was to walk away often so the coat could dry. He said it would take about the time it takes to smoke a cigarette. At 19, this was a new way to think about time. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, paint dries. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, the first girl I ever loved said, "What are we anyway but two people who fucked a lot?" And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, a doctor told my father they were taking him off chemo so maybe he could feel good in the weeks he had left. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, a stroke killed Tony while her family attempted CPR. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, my wife's heartbeat dropped below safe level during childbirth. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, stars are born and die. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, flowers bloom in the desert. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, I met my best friend. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, Jesus turned water into wine. And the time it takes to smoke a cigarette, my daughter walked for the first time into my wife's outstretched arms. But on that day in Afghanistan, when we knew we could not save the baby, the only survivor when the car hit the IED, doctors mixed a cocktail of chemicals strong enough to end its life in minutes, and gave it through an IV. But the child held on for 4 days, while we watched helpless, counting the minutes like beads on a rosary, waiting and praying and almost believing we were watching a miracle happen, right in the middle of the hospital. But in the end, the war won again, and the child died. But it took 4 days instead of minutes, because time is an angry bitch you can't measure with cigarettes or tears. I'm from Erie, PA, and we are like the snow capital of the world. So I wrote this about snow. Isn't it like Eskimos are the only ones that have more words for snow than Erieites? And I'm not even sure they do. Sometimes I want the snow to fall forever. Not the Christmas let it snow kind of snow, but the gonna bury everything kind of snow. The bury our dead kind of snow. Bury the burned out cars on 12th Street kind of snow. The bury the memories of this last year kind of snow. The bury the hatchet, bury the lead kind of snow. I want enough snow to hide every stone in Arlington National Cemetery. Enough snow so you have no choice but to stay at the bar you are in until the day after tomorrow. Enough so the B-52 bombers can fly over Afghanistan. Enough snow so all the armies go home. Enough snow that all the fires go out and all the polar bears get home to hunt and get fat again. Enough snow that you need to lay in a pile of your loved ones to stay warm kind of snow. Enough snow to close a city and enough snow to clear the streets so anyone who wants to can come out and dance. Yes. Awesome. I have one I know I want to read. I just got to find it. This is my longest book. I will say, when you're asking about books, most of them are chapbooks. This is my first full-length collection. It is my newest one, though, and I do have them if anybody wants one. So this is called Everything Is Just Because It Is. 8 years after the war, and I am still certain there is no rhyme or reason, no karma, no cosmic order, no justice, only cause and effect. The IED never decides a child is too small to lose its leg. The enemy never decides not to shoot today. And even in the daily wars back home, bullies are not really afraid if you just stand up to them. The rapists pick the one too small to fight back. The ticket in your pocket is never tonight's lottery win. And the girl at the bar will pick the guy with more money every time. Rain will fall on your walk to the job interview, and your friends will take their own lives for reasons you will never understand. And the sun will rise and set, not because or despite any of it. So I no longer look for meaning in any of it, the same way I no longer question miracles, dumb luck, or hard work. Somewhere tonight, a homeless man sings better than Benny King on a street corner. Somewhere tonight, a housewife writes the great American novel after her shift at the plastics plant. And right now, in the ocean somewhere, a mother orca carries her calf 17 days after it was stillborn. This is not a metaphor or evolutionary abnormality. She is just a mother, like any mother, grieving through hot tears in a vast icy ocean, looking for a grave deep enough for the both of them. Thanks, y'all.